This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Robin Dow is producing, and signature support is from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and from Jerry Lane Chevrolet. Your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. We begin with Leslie Gerwin, a prominent lawyer in our country who spent many years in New Orleans in the year of 1990 when Louis Elwood Woody Jenkins was pushing a bill at the Louisiana legislature to ban almost all abortions in the state. Leslie Gerwin was on the front lines to fight that. She was successful in killing that bill, but then shortly thereafter, the legislature, in its wisdom, passed a bill that was crafted first as a bill to allow people who beat up flag burners to get away with a $25 penalty. It was turned into a battery on a fetus bill that did allow for some exceptions for rape and incest, and it did pass the legislature. And both of those bills were vetoed by Governor Buddy Romer. But the second one was overturned, and the counsel who was advising the governor in those days was none other than Senator John Neely Kennedy of Louisiana, who is now one of the most ardent anti-abortion people in the legislature in Washington. More on that as we move along today, but before we get to Leslie and talk about more of the same 32 years later, Mark Ballard, who will be with us later, the Advocate Capitol Bureau Chief, has the top story in our paper. Panel OKs bill to outlaw abortions. Women who terminate pregnancies would be charged with murder. This is House Bill 813 that cleared the Criminal Justice Committee in the lower chamber yesterday on a 7-2 vote. So this is in response to the leaked draft of an opinion from Samuel Alito that apparently has five members of the high court in accord that would overturn Roe v. Wade more than 49 years after it became the law of the land, giving women the constitutional right to end a pregnancy in the first trimester and in some cases second trimester. 877-217-5757. Leslie Gerwin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim. It's been a long time. You sound exactly the same. I'm sure you haven't aged a bit.
I'm sure you're right. And likewise. Leslie, in addition to being one of the most brilliant people I've met, is a striking presence. And you went off to the East Coast, and we kind of lost contact, but you were at Princeton for many years, and you're living in Washington, D.C., and I'm sure the attitudes there perhaps are somewhat different than they are here.
Well, it depends which part of D.C. If we're talking about the attitudes on Capitol Hill, they seem to be reverting, or many of the most outspoken men, mostly men, in the Republican part of Congress sound very much like the Louisiana legislature of 32 years ago. I will say that we left Louisiana after Katrina. My husband was a doctor and a faculty member at Louisiana State University Medical School. And one of the things about the abortion battles that is striking even today, and not as doesn't figure as prominently in the discussion, but did back then, was the slogan, if you will, that if for Louisiana, life began at conception and ended at birth. And the idea being that the state and the legislators wanted to ensure that they forced women to carry a fetus to a live birth, and then they withdrew or failed to provide any services for that child. So we had the worst education system in the state. We had no health care for women. We had no child care. And even today, the people who are most vocal about ending the private decision of a woman with respect to reproductive choices have not supported child care, have tried to repeal Obamacare. there's no responsibility that they show for ending the poverty that causes children such pain in their life. And yet we talk about a fetus as being something that is precious to some people, such that they have to force others to carry that to term and live with the pain for their own life and ruin their family and other decisions. It's devastating. You know, 32 years ago, Louisiana was performing for the nation. Woody Jenkins and others had the conceit that Louisiana would be the forerunner to the overturning of Roe versus Wade. And we were fighting knowing that our protection rested with the law and rested with the Supreme Court. And in the end, they had this idea that because Louisiana came from a different legal system, that is, we were settled by the French and we had this Napoleonic code, that somehow the court would treat a fetus differently. So let them dream. And quite frankly, we had a number of legislators who believed that their constituents required them to support these bills and privately said they're not for them. I mean, I remember when Buddy Romer turned Republican, you know, he switched parties, and he told us, we had lunch with him before he vetoed the first bill, I think. And he was saying that, you know, George, this was a big deal. George and Barbara Bush came down to mark the occasion. And he said that, you know, Barbara Bush made it plain that she was not where the Louisiana, where Woody Jenkins and all of those people.
I can remember you mentioned the first George Bush who was president. He was pro-choice when he ran for president in 1980. And then had an overnight conversion to get on the ticket with Ronald Reagan, basically sold his soul to get on the ticket and touted the line thereafter. Now we see John Kennedy doing the same thing.
I was going to say, you mentioned John Kennedy. I mean, he was an ally that we work with. And there were several others who made that mistake. If you recall, there was a runoff election between Susie Terrell and Mary Landrieu. And because of Louisiana's crazy primary system, it was the last, it was going to be decided in December. So it was televised because it was a big race.
I remember on Meet the Press, and Susie almost came to blows, I heard.
And the first thing that Susie said, the first thing she said to Mary when her opening statement was accusing Mary Landrieu of being pro-abortion. I mean, Susie Terrell had, what, four daughters?
Well,
and she had been, and she lost. She actually lost because the religious right stayed home because they knew. I mean, I remember getting calls. They knew, and they saw her name on the donor list of Planned Parenthood.
Susie Terrell.
So
she had contributed to Planned Parenthood and then became for anti-abortion forces.
Okay. It was politically convenient.
All right. Well, Leslie speaks with some authority in addition to being a lawyer and an activist. She taught courses at three schools of law, but also two public health schools at Tulane and LSU. And one of the great regrets is that I like it when women keep their given last name, but I wish you had taken your husband's name because he's Dr. Bruce Leslie.
You remember that.
And she would be Leslie Leslie, but we didn't have Leslie Leslie. We've got Leslie Gerwood. But, you know, I was thinking about 1990 when all this was happening at the Louisiana legislature. There was an 18-year-old young girl at Dominican in New Orleans named Amy Coney Barrett. I'm sure she was aware of this. And here she is, the deciding vote, the vote that is making the difference, 5-4. She took Ruth Bader Ginsburg's place. It is Amy Coney Barrett who will determine that women in the United States, in many states, will lose their right to have reproductive freedom, if you will. It is an amazing turn of events, and she was a young person at a formative stage in life at that point.
What's really striking about the debate today versus 32 years ago is that the more of the country is able, I think, because of the passage of time, and we have a whole generation who has come into adulthood.
Okay, just hold that thought. We will talk more with Leslie Gerwin. And if you'd like to get in on the conversation, 877-217-5757. We're back after this timeout with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Engster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Leslie Gerwin, longtime activist for women's rights, and she was at the Capitol in the early 1990s when the nation was watching Louisiana. Governor Buddy Romer, who ironically is Louisiana's last pro-choice governor, if you will, he vetoed two anti-abortion bills and paid a huge political price. I think he would have won the 1991 election had he not done that, but he showed some courage, and he gave up his political future. He never won another race. And Leslie Gerwin, of course, was happy that he did, but the legislature on the second bill overturned the governor. And the Louisiana legislature yesterday went into high gear, a 7-2 vote from the House Committee for the Administration of Criminal Justice. And I'm laughing because of the unbelievable audacity of the legislature. Mm-hmm. Women who terminate pregnancies will be charged with murder. Now, you would think that there would be an outcry about this, Leslie, but I don't know. What do you think?
Well, the audacity is that it is a blatant admission that those who oppose a woman's right to choose think of women as second-class citizens, as vehicles for reproduction, and believe that they can exercise the power and the power of the state to make these private decisions. What I was saying before the break is that by a 2-to-1 margin today, people in this country see the issue of who gets to decide these private decisions about reproduction. And the majority of the country believes it's not the state, it's not mostly white men in legislatures, but it's women, their families, and their doctors. And now, instead of not just taking that decision away from them, they're going to punish people who don't make the decisions that they favor. They favor it either politically, and I believe that there is, and the polls show, a small minority of people who genuinely hold a strong religious or moral belief regarding the sanctity of a fetus. That's not the decision. That's not the position of a lot of people. And it's not a decision that the majority, as Justice Alito would say, that should be made by majority vote.
Go ahead.
32 years ago, we had a rabbi who was vilified by some members of the legislature for explaining Jewish law and its belief that the decision lies with the woman.
Yeah, the Bible, which is, of course, used as the playbook for the evangelical right, and nothing wrong with the Bible. It doesn't have a whole lot to say about abortion. I can find people on both sides who make the case that it does, but I don't see it. I'll tell a story, but we're short on time, and I want to get as many of you in with Leslie as we can. Let's start with Ellen in Sherwood. Ellen, please be brief. You're on with Leslie Gerwin.
Hi.
thank you, Leslie, for articulating the truth. I just wish this would permeate throughout the country and allow good, honest candidates to win in November. I just have to hope that. And what you said about the legislators not caring what happens to a woman after she gives birth is it really is so profoundly true and devastating that that's still the case today.
All right, Leslie, would you respond to Ellen? Thank you, Ellen.
I mean, the response is that people have to vote and they have to know what the stakes are. I mean, back in 32 years ago, one of the issues that I was involved in was trying to get John Breaux to vote against the confirmation of Clarence Thomas. And there was a large donor lined up to have a conversation with him. And I even confirmed that conversation. I saw him at a party on Saturday, and the conversation was to be Monday or Tuesday. And I said, so-and-so is going to call you at such and such a date at 2 o'clock on that day. And at noon, John Breaux went on the Senate floor and announced he was supporting Clarence Thomas. So he wouldn't take the call.
And he was also joined by Bennett Johnston, and the vote for Clarence Thomas was 52-48. And some would say, well, he was a Southern Democrat. He had to do it. But in Arkansas, two Southern Democrats, David Pryor and Dale Bumpers, voted against Clarence Thomas.
And there were a number of reasons to vote against Clarence Thomas that had nothing to do with his so-called position on choice, which he didn't articulate, which is another it's a blow to the court. The release of the opinion is not going to bring down the institution, but really what's really dismaying is the idea that these men lied to the legislature at their confirmations.
Chuck and Scott. Chuck, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Leslie Gerwin.
Thank you. I don't call it audacity. I call it hypocrisy, because they talk about the innocence of the fetus, but they deny rights to the women that are innocent victims of rape and incest.
Yeah. I think, Chuck, hypocrisy is a great word. You know, we don't separate. I mean, there's a difference between a personal belief that you would not, or a woman or a man would decide not to have or condone abortion, and the idea that you have to decide that for someone else. And one of the things, there was a African-American legislator who took to the floor of the Louisiana Senate, I believe, and called out the right to life supporters of abortion because they supported the death penalty. And they supported a death penalty that was overwhelmingly imposed on African-Americans. And that was hypocrisy. They said, how can you be for life? I mean, you know, the Innocence Project had not yet begun yet, but we were even then seeing how juries had discriminated against African-Americans and often made mistakes. And you couldn't undo an existent life that the state killed in the mistake that they had committed a crime.
Now, a listener asks a good question that is a tangential issue, is the leak, and whoever leaked this is going to perhaps be rewarded or penalized in the court of public opinion. But should that person face any kind of criminal charges, Leslie?
I don't believe there's any statute I believe there's a code of ethics, and that could certainly impact what would happen if you identify who leaked it. But what about lying to Congress? What about what about the justices who said they would respect stare decisis? What about the idea that they said that this was established law, and that they would respect the precedent, understanding the intense debate surrounding this issue? And it's always about who decides, whether these
people on the Supreme Court will decide and require and allow legislators to decide, or whether women can and their husbands and their doctors and their partners can make these private reproductive choice decisions that have lasting impact.
Leslie, it has been a pleasure, and we look forward to talking with Professor Gerwin again very soon. It's been too long, but you are a voice of enlightenment. Thank you.
And thank you. It's wonderful to speak to you, and thank you to your listeners.
It's our pleasure, and we will be in touch. And we'll have Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate, in the second half of the show. Your number is 877-217-5757. Mark has the top story in today's paper. Panel okays bill to outlaw abortions. Women who terminate pregnancies could be charged with murder. We'll be back after this timeout with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. And Mark Ballard, Capital Bureau Chief for The Advocate and The Picayune, he is with us and has a couple of blockbuster stories today, and one is front page, as it should be. On a 7-2 vote, the House Criminal Justice Committee voted to advance a bill that would have women who terminate pregnancies charged with murder. Now, if you recall, in 2016, when President Trump ran, he was questioned by Chris Matthews, then working for MSNBC, and Donald Trump basically said the same thing. And as we know, the Louisiana legislature is, in many cases, lockstep with the former president. And in this case, they're seizing the moment after this leaked draft from the U.S. Supreme Court, a majority opinion written by Samuel Alito, appointee of George W. Bush, to the High Court. And he has, of course, advanced a discussion that has continued for 50 years almost. And here we are again, back to square one, about where we were 32 years ago in the Louisiana legislature. But Mark Ballard, unlike 1990, there is a Democratic governor who is pro-life. In 1990, there was a Republican governor who was pro-choice. But the legislature has the mojo to do pretty much what it wants, and they may go the distance on this. What do you think?
Well, what I think is that I can't think of a single anti-abortion bill that has ever been defeated in the Louisiana legislature. And so that you need to start with that. And on the other hand, you know, there's a whole lot of legislative, particularly among women, both Republican and Democrats, that are going, what? What have we just done? So I don't know how this is going to turn out. It may end up being that the leadership just kind of sidetracks the bill to avoid bringing it up for a vote on the House floor, so that, you know, essentially it would never come up because of the fear of the House members voting for it, you know, and fearing that. But on the other hand, it could very well get up and go through, and I don't know where the governor would stand on basically charging women who terminate their pregnancy, you know, particularly after Roe is overturned, with murder. And that's what this bill would do.
That it would. And we'll see where it goes. But a listener asked of the seven members who voted for it, how many were women?
At least one. Let me hold on. I have to take a look at my vote. I didn't have room to put how they voted there last night.
This is
the woman took a walk. So it was all men.
All men. All seven voting to have women charged with murder if they terminate a pregnancy.
Yeah. That's
House Bill 813. Well, if anything, the Democratic Party has, it was Mary Olive Pearson who said on this show long ago that Democrats want the issue, Republicans want to win elections, Democrats want to win the debate. Well, winning the debate doesn't do much, but I think even in Louisiana, a bill like this might be considered a bridge too far.
Well, you know, many people seem to think so, but there is a large group of people and sitting on that committee, for instance, that think that this is exactly what needs to be done. Now, what's interesting was that a week before, last week, they shot down a law that was aimed at it was aimed at ensuring that women who terminate their pregnancies or have miscarriages that look like they terminated their pregnancies would never be charged with criminal charges. We've got about 100 anti-abortion laws, and most of which don't expose women to criminal penalties. But there's a lot of confusion in all of these laws, and so there's a possibility under one of them that she could be. So they wanted to just say the women who aborted themselves or needed miscarriage procedures for miscarriage that are related to abortion procedures, they wanted them to seek medical help and not fear arrest. And the opponents said, oh, criminal charges against the mother? Never. That would never, ever happen. But a week later, that is exactly what did happen. These same opponents of last week's bill voted for charging a woman whose pregnancy was terminated with criminal charges, most likely felony murder.
877-217-5757. Trish in Grand Coteau. Trish, you're on with Mark Ballard. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I don't even know where to start on this one. I have so many questions about it. But one, what about cases of medical emergency, like an ectopic pregnancy, or a woman who finds out that the fetus is going to be born without a brain, or the woman who has IVF and ends up with 8 live embryos and has to have selective removal because she can't have 8 children. I mean, physically. What about the 11-year-old that's raped and you're asking a 90-pound child to gain 30 pounds to carry a baby? I just seems like men really hate women. And none of this would happen if men could keep their pants zipped. So, you know, I just don't even know where to start on this one.
Well, let me assure you, I don't hate women. But a lot of what you're saying is if this bill that we've been discussing that was advanced yesterday in committee passes, then all of that would be a moot point. It does not address anything other than the termination of a pregnancy, regardless of the reason. Now, if Roe is overturned, there is a trigger document, and some of the issues that you brought up would be considered, but most of the issues would not, particularly the 90-pound 11-year-old that would not be addressed and would not be able to get an abortion under those cases.
877-217-5757, your number for Mark Ballard of The Advocate and Picayune. Note that 27% of the U.S. Congress is female, 73% male. And 4 members of the U.S. Supreme Court will soon be women. Right now, there are 3 out of 9. So that's underrepresentation. And if it were 5-4 women to men, then the decision might be 5-4 rather one way rather than the other. And as we know, that makes all the difference in the world. James in Jackson, Louisiana. James, you're on with Mark.
Okay, Mark and Jim, I just want to say real quickly that I'm greatly edified by your program and your guests, and I enjoy it immensely.
Thank you. Thank you.
I want to make a comment out of which proceeds my question. What is an abortion? And the fact that there's so many ways of looking at it tends to make this very sturdy in discussions. To me, an abortion is murder. It is the most serious thing wrong with it is it deprives the country of the destiny that the person who gets born could do. And also, An abortion does not preclude, being born doesn't preclude survival. There's no situation so depraved that we haven't seen myriad cases of people who went on to do great things, even though they were so horribly received.
All right.
Now, the second point I want to make.
Please be brief.
Okay, the second point is you cannot legislate morality. And I would give up my life for the right of a person to make their comment. In other words, I think that a person has the right to take any point of view without being restricted. Therefore, what I say is, and this is where my question comes, who decides, who makes the decision about an abortion?
All right. Well, I think most people in America, in the world for that matter, would think that abortion is something that is not good. I don't know of anybody who says it is good, but it is sometimes a necessary move for the person who makes that decision, and many do so, and they have conflicting thoughts about it as well. And I think the last thing a person like that, a woman, needs is to go through with this and face the internal turmoil and then be charged with murder. So, Mark, it's these seven guys who voted to have women charged with murder, and it's a decision they will never be confronted with, not in the way women are.
No, this is true. But that is part of what we have with the representative democracy. I mean, these guys were elected, and they are elected saying that they're representing the people of their districts. So,
James and Metairie. James, you're on. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Mark. As I tried to say yesterday, between 8% and 20% of all pregnancies end up in abortion. It's called a miscarriage, spontaneous.
All right.
Abortion.
Well, what we heard it yesterday, James. What's your question?
I understand. Okay. Here's some data from the CDC. 45% of women who had an abortion had two or more live births. Now, what does that mean? Single mothers. Oh, yeah, let's charge them with felony murder. And, boy, that'll be great for the children. Where are they going to be raised? In Angola? That's a great place to have to raise and become a child in Angola.
I don't think they have women prisoners at Angola, but they do have some other female facilities. And presumably, if they're charged with murder, that's where they would go. They would not be sent home with an ankle bracelet. So. James fired up, as are many others. We are waiting in line to talk with Mark, so we ask you to be brief. We will be back in short order, and your number is 877-217-5757. Back after this. This is Jim Inkster. Glad you're with us for Talk Louisiana. Mark Ballard with us for the final quarter hour. 877-217-5757. Talk at talklouisiana.org. Mark Bornstein, one of our good listeners in Lafayette, a conservative man who corresponds with me sometimes, he says, is it hypocritical to be pro-death penalty and anti-abortion? Over 70 people have been exonerated from death row since the death penalty's reconstitution. It's the one penalty you can't take back if someone is wrongly convicted. I'm personally anti-abortion, but it can't be inaccessible or outlawed, writes the conservative Mr. Bornstein. We're already inundated with unwanted street kids. Who pays for these kids when their parents are derelict? What sort of uptick in crime will ensue in years to come because of kids being raised by their tired grandparents or irresponsible single parents? So that is a point of view from a conservative listener, but it's one we don't often hear in the Louisiana legislature. And these people, supposedly, Mark, are reflecting the views of their constituents. And it is apparent when we look and see how they vote and what they tout, that Louisiana was carried twice by Donald John Trump by 400,000 votes. This is Trump territory, and if Donald Trump were to come out tomorrow and say, okay, I'm pro-choice, I have a feeling that the Republican Party might say, okay, we're pro-choice. Mark Ballard.
Oh, that's awfully cynical, Jim. But, I think what we have, it's not just partisan politics, but there's also a heavy dose of religion here in the state. Yesterday at that hearing, every chair, maybe 100, 120 people were in that room, and almost every single one of them were from conservative Protestant churches. And this bill had the support of the Baptists. It had the support of everyone in that room, all of whom were saying that this is, you know, God's will. This is what we're doing.
And I wonder how many of them have had abortions or have been responsible for abortions.
I don't know. That question was never asked, but they were very passionate about their belief that abortion was essentially murder of innocent children who had not yet been born. And so the legislators see that, too. So,
Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, you guys are saying, well, I guess the previous guest, but I don't think the woman would be guilty of murder. It'd be the quack who's performing the abortions that would be guilty of murder. Not necessarily. I mean, the woman's just laying down. If I was a defense attorney, I would say she didn't commit any murder. It's the quack who pulled the baby out or vacuumed it out or, you know, took it out with a coat.
That's not what this, that's not what, House Bill 813 says, though, is it, Mark?
It is not, Patrick. You'd be wrong on that. If this becomes law, that the moment of conception, the fetus becomes a person with all the same rights that you have, not to be murdered, and that definition is in the homicide statutes. So that means that if you cause an abortion on a person, that would be defined as murder, and you would be charged with murder. And that's what this law does.
Teresa Devlin writes, what else, and this is for you, Mark, what else do we know about the men who proposed this bill? Did they vote in favor or against equal pay for women? What is their stance on parental leave? What are their stances on education? These are men who portray themselves as heroes of the unborn, but I'm curious to learn how they're serving Louisiana's living citizens, particularly how they are serving the women of Louisiana. And that is, I think, a legitimate inquiry from Teresa.
Well, the men that voted on this are some of the most conservative representatives in the state capitol. That was one reason, or that many believe that they were added to the Administration of Criminal Justice. And I can say, as I look over the list, that they are against minimum wage. They are against equal pay. Yeah, they're against abolishing the death penalty.
Now, so, one of them is Danny McCormick, Oil City. He was one of the seven, right?
It was Bacala from Prairieville, Fontenot from Thibodeau, Garofalo from Chalmette, Godin. I'm not totally sure where he's from. McCormick from Oil City, Muscarello from Hammond, and Seaball from Shreveport.
All right. Jeff Palermo, the Louisiana Radio News Director, has pulled up a snippet of the debate, and Danny McCormick, according to many who know him, and I've talked to the man a few times, he's a nice man, but he's all in on all these issues that Teresa enunciated, and some would say on the wrong side of history. Others would be saying, go Danny, but here's Danny McCormick.
Robert. Louisiana law currently fails to provide equal protection for human life. Persons are deemed unworthy of legal protection for no other reason that they are not yet born.
All right, Danny McCormick. Steve in Mid-City. Steve, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, a couple of remarks. One, your Reverend Gene yesterday. I think abortion is a terrible thing. Women have a terrible choice to make. I'd like to know where their churches are. If the state is going to force women to carry a child to birth, the other half of that is a man. Why are no legislation involving him? He is certainly part of the commission of a murder. If he fails to stop the woman from aborting, he should know about it. He certainly had part in making it. It's basically just hypocrites and Republicans who are concerned about imagined constituency response because they don't have the guts to stand
all
up
right,
and
well,
say.
Well, remember, I hear you, but remember it was a Democratic governor, Kathleen Blanco, that signed this trigger bill. She was all for it. And it's a Democratic governor, John Bel Edwards, who will have a tough choice to make. He is pro-life, but Governor Edwards may decide that the legislature has gone too far. The last pro-choice governor in Louisiana was the Republican, Charles Buddy Romer, who was, of course, advised to veto bills by one John Neely Kennedy. And as I look at my email, I got some emails yesterday from Senator Kennedy, and one of them is protect the unborn. Jim, we must fight to keep the right to life protected. As a senator and a father, I will always fight for the sanctity of life. The unborn are under attack each and every day in this country, and I will not stand for it. That from John Kennedy, the man who encouraged successfully Buddy Romer to veto two bills in 1990.
And that email ended with, please send me money.
Yes, so. Indeed. Yes, indeed. Mike in Lafayette. Mike, please be brief. Mike, you're on.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to make two or three comments. The first comment is that the Republicans say that they're conservative, but they're not conservative. They're actually radical. The reason why they are radical is because if you look at the teachings, particularly the Catholic Church and the Western religion, there's something called the quickening. That's when a woman feels the fetus in her womb moving. That was considered historically the time at which a person became a person. Secondly, I like to say all those people, and you mentioned that previously, all the people who are pro-life are actually pro-birth. They're not pro-life, and they're not conservative because historically I come from a community that worried about people. They're worried that when people were born, they were educated and they were sent to school and they had good jobs. That is not the case anymore in Louisiana. That is not the case. The third thing I'd like to say is that it's despicable, absolutely despicable.
Thank you, Mike. Mark?
Well, there are many. It's a large country, and there are many different ideas about it. What you have in this state, however, is the majority, most people are Roman Catholic. The Catholic Church is against abortion. It's also against the death penalty as well. And they have religious, they can point to biblical texts to support their positions. The conservative Protestant churches can also point to biblical texts to support their positions, which is that, you know, if an adult commits a crime, then he's forfeited his right to life, and they argue that. And then you have a lot of other churches that are in the middle of the road on this sort of thing.
Kim in Mid-City. Hi, Kim, you're on. Good morning.
Hi, Jim. This is Cam. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just would like to say that I would like to speak against the characterization of abortion as a tragedy. Abortion is a miracle. Abortion is a beautiful thing that allows women to regain control of their lives, whether they have kids, they're already raising, or they're pursuing an education. And having a child is an intensely personal choice that nobody can make for another person. And I don't think these men really understand exactly how horrifying it is for a woman to have to structure her entire life around the fear of an unplanned pregnancy.
All right. Thank you, Cam. David in Atlanta, please be brief. You've got 30 seconds, David.
The Supreme Court decision will evidently be based on the Mississippi law, the anti-abortion law. Mississippi has the absolute worst record in the nation of providing for children. And
all right. Mississippi, of course, is not exactly considered a progressive bastion. And all over the SEC states, I think all 11 of them are going to have basically the same trigger mechanism. Florida doesn't yet, but quite likely will join. Mark, we live in a highly conservative part of the country. This is Trump territory until further notice.
It is. And the Trump territory is supported by some of the more conservative Protestant religions.
Mark Ballard, thank you so much. Back next week with Mark. Always enlightening. First Financial Tax and Accounting and Jerry Lane provide signature support.